you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Welcome to the Under Center podcast. I'm Lawrence Holmes along with Jim Miller and Alex Brown. And we're going to recap the Bears' 20-3 win over the Cleveland Browns. This is going to sound like we're doing a Browns podcast in the first segment. But I'm curious, do you guys feel bad for the Browns as a franchise and maybe their fan base for what's gone on for seems like the last, you know, 15, 16 years?
Right. I feel bad for the fan base, but I don't feel bad for the Browns organization at all. Because I think they actually were getting it right with Butch Davis, and unfortunately Tim Couch gets hurt. They were really good even back when we played them in 2001. That was a really well-built football team. Unfortunately, Tim Couch wrecks his shoulder. But even after that, I thought they did pretty well under Mangini. They were getting there. And then even with Pat Shurmur, they had a really good roster but couldn't solve their quarterback issue. They ended up drafting Brandon Whedon. But since Jimmy Haslam has come in, it's been a complete disaster. Here's a guy who was a part owner of the Pittsburgh Steelers. He had ownership in there. Said, oh, yeah, I'm going to build it just like the Steelers. That guy's done anything but that. He's had turnover with coaches. I mean, there was one and done for Rod Chudzinski. Remember when he was there for
yes.
1 year? I mean, you can't build a team like that. And now he's doing it again by hiring another John Dorsey, another general manager. I think he got a good football guy rather than the route that they were going with the money ball. But I don't feel bad for the Browns organization at all. They brought it upon themselves.
You brought it up that when their explanation for not going after Carson Wentz was ridiculous.
Yeah. Paul DePodesta, who was supposedly the money ball guy, but he was on the baseball side of it when they did all that out in the Major League Baseball, and they bring him in. He had a public quote that they didn't even have Carson Wentz rated in their top 20. Think about that. So they passed up Carson Wentz. They traded out of the spot that Deshaun Watson. They could have stayed there and took Deshaun Watson. Mm-hmm. I mean, so think about it. And then trade up to get Mitchell Trubisky or Patrick Mahomes, quarterbacks that were available for him. And certainly Carson Wentz has got to be the most stinging because that guy was playing. People thought he'd be the MVP this year in his second year in the league. Mm-hmm. And they flat out traded out of that spot. Think about that or went in a different direction, I should say, with that spot. So it's brutal, and they've been thirsting for a quarterback for so long and then to miss so many times. This is the same organization, I should add, too, that passed over Ben Roethlisberger. Think about him in division, what that guy has done, and when he was available, he wasn't even on their board to
And they've
to
missed epically, like with guys like Johnny Manziel, you know, bringing him in. Alex, is there? Do you have any sympathy for the Browns as an organization?
No, I don't. Not for the organization. At all. I mean, I'm a little bit for the fans, like what Jim said, because that's not – they don't make any decisions as far as putting the players out there. But the Browns passed on me. They should have drafted me, and I could have helped. So, nope, I do not feel bad at all. So, don't. Nope. Uh-uh. They've done so many bad things as far as picking players, whether it's due to popularity, who's going to sell tickets. I want to win football games, and that's all I want to win. You keep looking for this quarterback, which is crazy. All right. I saw another team looking for that big time wide receiver, right? And you saw the Detroit Lions just keep spending top 10 pick after top 10 pick trying to get that receiver. They finally got him, and then they're able to move on. Just move on from trying to get this quarterback and build a team a different way. There are other ways to win in this league outside of having a Tom Brady. There's only one. Like, you can win with other pieces.
We've actually seen that this year where you have a really good team, mm-hmm. and then you can drop a quarterback in. Mm-hmm. Your backup's backup in Minnesota, in Case Keenum,
yes,
is out there balling out this year for the Vikings. So maybe you can team build that way. A lot of people think, well, you got to have the quarterback first.
No.
Maybe you could do it the other way.
You can do it the other way. Look at Seattle. They built their team around defense and running the football. And then they got a quarterback in the third round, and it just turned out to be Russell Wilson. And that just, But they taught him, they groomed him how they wanted him to play quarterback because they had a system in place. When you look at the Cleveland Browns, shoot, every 2-3 years the system changes. Or the philosophy changes or something. It's just, it's too much going on. Find somebody and stick with them. Give them more than 2 years to get it right. This is a mess. First of all, they need to clean up the mess and then start to build. And they don't give them enough time to do that.
Was there anything more Cleveland Brownsy than having a pick six called back because you had a guy lined up offsides?
How it was going to change that football game? No, I don't think so. Not that it was just the pick six callback. It was you could have taken the lead in the game with that play. It was your first round. You've had a lot of problems with first round picks.
Mm-hmm.
It was your first round pick having a huge play in the football game that could have been that boost to get you to your first win of the season. And you line up one of the dumbest things, a block in the back. That's an effort play. It's a dumb play. It's an effort play. This isn't an effort play. This is you line up off sides. It's one of those things where it can't happen. It's like a receiver not being on the ball when he's supposed to be on the ball and they get in a legal formation. It's ridiculous. How do you not know this?
That's why I'll go back to the draft, because did they check Carl Nassib's no depth perception? How could you line up offsides? I mean, isn't that scoutable? I mean, unbelievable. And that's why we say we're sniffing something brown on the Browns.
It does seem that way. What do you think of Myles Garrett, Alex?
I'm just not a fan, man. I'm just not a fan. When he came out, I mean, I like to, if you're going to be my top pick, I want to talk to you. I want to get to know you. I want to know what's behind that. What's behind what your agent's telling you to say, behind the company lines. You know what most players are going to say. They're going to say that company line, but spend more time with them. Don't spend 4 or 5 hours with a kid that you're going to put a five-year contract on. Spend 3, 4, 5 days so you can get past what his agent is telling him to say, and then you can really see what kind of person this guy is. I think he plays football because he's good at it. I want guys that play football because they love it. Because when you play football, in my opinion, when you play football because you're good at it, once you get the money, once all that other stuff comes, what do you do then? What is the motivation to continue to keep that player playing? For a guy like, and I'm going to call him out because I absolutely love this kid, Jamal Adams, a kid like him, he plays football because he loves it. He just so happens to be good at it. That's it. He plays football because he loves football. He loves the smell of grass. He loves practice. He loves everything about football. And if I can build a football team of 53 guys like that, you're going to win because they're going to do what it takes to win that football game, regardless of what it is. We talk about running through that brick wall, and some people just run up to the wall. I want guys that will actually try to run through that wall.
When we come back, we need to talk about the Bears, since this is the Under Center podcast and we focus in on the Bears. We'll talk about two guys who have pretty decent games, Mitchell Trubisky and Kyle Fuller. That's next on the Under Center podcast.
Hi, guys.
I'm Tara Lipinski.
And I'm Johnny Weir.
Guess what, Johnny?
What?
The Winter Olympics are right around the corner. And what does that mean?
Yay. That means we get to see Shaun White, Michaela Schifrin, and other top Team USA athletes conquer fresh snow and ice this February on NBC.
So make sure you're ready. Sign up for NBC Sports and Olympics emails by texting POD to 66866. Or you can visit NBCOlympics.com/newsletters to receive the latest athlete updates, giveaways, and more.
Message and data rates may apply. Winter is here.
Welcome back into the Under Center podcast. Lawrence Holmes, Jim Miller, and Alex Brown talking about the Bears' win over the Browns 20-3 to stretch their record out to 5-10. What did you think of how Mitchell Trubisky played, Jim?
I think he's playing better. You know, for me, just certain things always stick out in my mind. Like, think about the fumble that didn't hurt the Bears. There was a mesh problem between him and Jordan Howard, and certainly the interception is something that sticks in your mind, too. Thankfully, that was an offside, but you can tell he's got command. All those mistakes, it seems like every week they're minimizing. You know, when probably the first week I said, hey, there were 10 things that I saw, now I'm down to like 2 or 3. You know, so you can just see that there's improvement every single week. He's running, you know, he's a command of the huddle. You can see he's managing things. I think he's quicker going through his reads. I think he's at times has shown his arm strength. He's shown his accuracy. So all in all, it's been better every single week. You know, take away the three interception game last week against Detroit where he made some bad decisions, but every week he seems to be better from that standpoint.
That's what it is about this team, about Mitch, about the offensive line, about the defense. It's being consistent. Yeah. And when you look at a football team that's 5-10, you can look at the wins and say, wow, they beat some playoff teams, some teams that already clinched playoff spots, and then they lose to teams that are long out of the playoffs. And it's just that's consistency. That's being able to play at that high level each and every week. We're not there yet. And it's that experience that takes time to actually learn it. It was good that Mitch was able to get in this year and we can see him go back and forth, and hopefully he takes another step where maybe he doesn't play at a Pro Bowl level every week, but he plays pretty consistent as far as just growing each and every week and don't have many games where he takes two steps back as we've seen this week where you referenced the three interceptions. And then he comes back and he throws for two touchdowns. Then he comes back and he throws for over 350 yards. It's just like where are you? Which Mitch are we going to get today? If we can just kind of get a solid Mitch every single week, I think that'll make this team a lot better.
A couple of actual called runs for him in the game. Mm-hmm. Jim, if you're coming in as an offensive coordinator or a head coach, when you build the offense for Trubisky next year, can you build some of that stuff in?
Yeah, I think you can. You know, because he's athletic, you know, you don't want to take that away from him. I think they'll keep some of their spread option stuff. Quarterback draws are fine. Basically, all Dowell Loggins did was copy from the game plan last week, the opponent that Cleveland did, and that's fine, you know, and took advantage of it and obviously cashed in, and Cleveland didn't show that they corrected their issue. But, yeah, you definitely want to use the movement plays, utilize his legs. And I think for him to recognize, like today, what he did, which was special, nothing's open. Now he's using it as an asset, almost like a Steve Young type of player that can put a lot of pressure on a defense.
Alex, let's flip over to defense and talk about Kyle Fuller. He had six passes defended, had interception. You've made the argument, and I think it's a fair argument, that he deserves to be a Pro Bowl alternate with the way that he plays. Why do you think the light is clicked on for him?
Probably, I really believe, I mean, I think it had a little bit to do with Vic Fangio, but I think it was when the Bears said they weren't going to pick up his fifth round or his fifth year option, where you realize, like, wow, like, I could be out of the league after this year, or that team that drafted me, they don't know if they want me. I got to do something different. And once that comes about, you're either going to be out of the league or you're going to change. You can't keep doing the same thing and expecting something different. So he changed it. And now he has to take another step, whereas he'll understand once he gets to this, if he does go to free agency and he doesn't sign with the Bears before the end of the year, he'll see that you have to make those big plays. PBUs is one thing. Getting an interception and giving that offense another possession is something totally different, and they pay corners a lot more money for that. PBUs is one thing. You can't just break the ball up. You have to pick off the ones that you can, and you don't get many. I think he's had five or six this year that he's dropped. They hit him in the hands, and he has to make those plays. I think he would say he has to make those plays. I think his money's going to show when he sees those offers. It could have been a little bit more, unless you get in a bidding war and then that price continues to go up. But, like, I think he has to make those plays. I think he can make those plays. It's just about taking that next step and saying, I'm going to build on this. I'm going to build on this year, and I'm going to show him that I can be even better. I already played a run. He's big enough. He's strong enough. He doesn't have any fear of coming up hitting anybody, so that's good. And you can play in any defense if you got that as a corner. He's big enough to cover the big receivers. He's quick enough, I think, to cover smaller receivers if needed. I think he's kind of that total package type of corner when he's playing at his best. But it's only when he's playing at his best is he in that upper echelon of corners, if you will. I don't think he's with a Patrick Peterson or even Rhodes in the division like that. But I think he's close when he's playing his best.
We'll take another timeout, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the Vikings. We're going to talk about what's in front of the Vikings and how the Bears can help try and spoil the party. Do they have a chance? We'll talk with our experts about that next on the Under Center podcast.
For Chicago's Sports Talk with Sizzle, crank up the heat and turn on STL. On NBC Sports Chicago, host David Kaplan brings his no-nonsense opinion to the table in a half hour on the topics that are trending with our teams.
We got the most mismanaged basketball team in the history of the world.
Which franchise made the gutsiest draft day move? I think Pack wanted to do this, and he finally got his way.
Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. Weeknights at 6 on NBC Sports Chicago.
Welcome back into the Under Center podcast. It's Lawrence Holmes and Jim Miller and Alex Brown. The Bears finale will be Sunday against the Vikings. The Vikings have had an unbelievable season considering that they're playing with their third quarterback and Case Keenum is playing like a Pro Bowl player. You know, that he's played really, really well all season long. Forget about whether or not the Bears have a chance. I'd like to save that for the end. I am curious what you guys have thought about what you've seen from the Vikings throughout the year.
Yeah, I think they're an all-around just a solid football team all the way around. Defensively, they're as good as it gets in the league. I think offensively, there's not one thing they can't do. They're explosive in terms of their plays. The receivers, whether it's Diggs, Thielen, Kyle Rudolph, I think their tight end's a pretty good tight end. Their offensive line has improved when they sign guys like Riley Reiff, and granted, Remmer's been hurt at the right tackle spot, but with how they've overhauled it and Pat Elflein, who they drafted, they're a complete team. You know, their special teams are good. And guys that we've already played against that the Bears know, like Sherrills, he's a good returner. They're hard-hitting, tough, kind of old school, exactly what Mike Zimmer, I think, envisioned as a football team. They're good.
When you get into the playoffs, I think they're going to have trouble, and this is why. Because I saw a stat the other day where Diggs and Thielen they're 1-2 in the league as far as completed, contested catches. Hmm. So they don't run by people. That's something that I think is a problem when – and they don't run the ball as well as I think they should. So if you don't run the ball very well, you're not dominant in running the football. If a team can stop them with 7 men in the box, I think they'll have a hard time passing the ball around to Diggs and to Thielen, even Rudolph. I think Rudolph is a mismatch type of guy. You can get him in on a linebacker. He can make plays on a linebacker. But I think you'll find problems if guys can play, I don't know, to play head up on them, have the safeties over top where the corner can really sit down on all the underneath routes. I think they'll have a problem because Diggs, he just wants to run across the field doing crossing routes. And Thielen is he's going to find that soft spot in the zone, and then you got to get pressure on the quarterback. If you get pressure on the quarterback, I think they'll run into trouble once you get into the playoff teams and you start to see competition after competition. I think they can get in trouble because they don't run the ball as efficient as I think they should to be in the playoffs.
And just the NFC overall is just tougher than the AFC this year.
It is very tough.
You know, there's probably about 6 to 7, I think, NFC teams when realistically you look at the AFC. Do you want to even put Jacksonville in that conversation with their quarterback? I'll take Brady and I'll take the other guys that are in there like Ben Roethlisberger. There's probably about 2 compared to the NFC.
There's going to be some teams in the NFC that miss the playoffs that they could easily make it if they were on the AFC side.
Yeah, easily.
Like there's some tough like Carolina. Carolina could miss the playoffs. There are 3 teams in the NFC South that are vying for a playoff position in the Falcons, the Panthers, and the Saints. I mean, it's just it is tough in the NFC this year. And gosh, it's gonna be fun to watch. It's gonna be so much fun to watch.
We got 30 seconds. You think the Bears got a shot?
I don't. I think Minnesota's going to play with their hair on fire. I love the fact that the Bears could spoil their night, but I think it's tough duty.
That any given Sunday stuff, I understand it. If we're going to talk about percentages and how much, I mean, it's a very, very small. It's under 5% that they would win. I mean, it's just they're a more complete team And the Bears have so many holes. Any mistake you make, they're going to take advantage of it. No, I don't think they have a chance to win.
If the Vikings are able to pull this off, they already have the best record for a team possibly hosting a Super Bowl. Bye week, home game, Super Bowl, home game. That is pretty incredible.
Yeah, I hope it happens. It's going to be tough, but I hope it happens because that'd be awesome to see.
That would be very cool to see. For Jim Miller and Alex Brown, I'm Lawrence Holmes. Thanks so much for listening to the Under Center podcast. If you like the podcast, rate it with 5 stars. We deserve it because we put in the work and we do it just for you. We'll see you next week on NBC Sports Chicago.